God and my King. That we may know you more. That we may behold your glory in every area. Yes, Papa, have mercy upon us. Yes, let your grace abound as your light radiates into this house tonight. Oh, open eyes, Papa, that they will see. Open the eyes of your people, Lord, that they may see your radiance tonight. The radiance of your love, the radiance of your glory. Open their eyes, Father. Open their eyes. Open our ears. And open our hearts. Help us to come to the end of ourselves. So we ask for your forgiveness and mercies and grace, repenting for our sins, our transgressions and iniquities. Repenting for everything that we've touched that was unclean. Lord, we repent for doubt and unbelief. We repent for the will of man. Have mercy upon us. Oh, that we may know you. That we may know you. I want to know you more. Wash us tonight with the blood of the Lamb. Wash us with the stripes of Jesus, Lord. Heal everyone in this room, please. I decree it over each and every life here that everyone be healed. I rebuke all sickness, disease, blood disease, heart disease, mental disease. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus the Christ. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, and I command you to loosen, to leave the people of God. I come against every emotional attachment spirit, and I command them to loose the people of God here tonight and go to the pit. You have no right here. I call destructive fire down on every power of darkness that's under Satan's authority in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Father, yes, let the heart exchange begin. Take these hearts of yours and give us the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the character and image and likeness of Christ. That the anointing of Christ looses from the bonds of deception, looses from the entanglements and affairs of this world, looses from the past, looses from time, looses from ourself, looses from every area that we may flow with you. Flow with you and be set free. Yes, that we may live in the Spirit. The place where you are. Father, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, bring us to another place, another level. To the throne room of Dad. Bring us to that place that pleases you. Yes. Lift your hands to heaven. Thank him. Thank you, Papa. Thank you. Thank you. Now surrender all, truly cast every care and concern, cast everything upon him, because he can't do anything until you get rid of it. can't do anything until you make the choice. Thank you. Yes. Giving it all away. Giving it all away. Yes, there's nothing left but him. Nothing left but him. When there's nothing left but him, you're in the spirit. Yes. And with him is joy. With him is love and peace. Oh, an understanding that passes any figuring out. You don't care. You only care about his presence. You care about not grieving his presence. You care about not grieving his Holy Spirit. That's all you care about. So we don't want to grieve you tonight. We want to welcome you. And we want you to have your way. Have your way. Have your way. And position us so it's no longer we that live, but you that live. We thank you again. And we promise to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Now give somebody a hug and tell them this is your night. Yes. Yes. You know, when the Spirit comes, whew. Like I said, when the Spirit comes. See, it's so important that we change the atmosphere. Amen. See, you have the authority as a saint of the Most High God, as a servant, because it's been granted to you already to bring the written judgment upon the powers of darkness. So you have already been granted the authority and dominion to change the atmosphere. See, so many times we try to fight without changing the atmosphere first. And what happens is we get drained. And I'm not saying that even in battles you get drained. But, you know when things are attacking you. You know when there's something going on. If you're in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins to nudge you and say, praise me. Praise the name of Jesus. What's he trying to do? Get you to change the atmosphere. Because the more you do that, the more light is surrounding you, and the powers of darkness begin to flee. So if you're not willing to change the atmosphere, the enemy knows it. And he knows that he has you in deception. So if you're not willing to change the atmosphere, the enemy's going to change you. This is where The enemy loves to get people into a lazy state, a compromised state, or a complacency state. The only reason people blame people is because they're lazy. If they would just get off their blessed assurance and start changing the atmosphere. See, because as you change the atmosphere, you're causing the powers of darkness to flee in seven directions. But the whole thing is many times we get caught up in us. See, fear always brings you to you. Doubt always brings you to you. Unbelief brings you to you. Anything that can bring you to you can't bring you to him. Now, this is not in my notes, so I want you to know. So what the enemy's always trying to do is bring you to you so that you focus on you, and then you don't change the atmosphere. But once you change the atmosphere, you can see what's hindering you. Because without changing the atmosphere, you can't see. That's why it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. You must change the atmosphere. Why? Because by changing the atmosphere, you're bringing the presence of God, because that's what you're supposed to be living in. So what's living in you is now around you. And now it feels like home. This is where I belong. Is everybody okay? So whose responsibility is it to change the atmosphere? Ours. Ours. See, so many times people want to argue about things. They want to discuss things until you're blue in the face. Forget it. Shut up and change the atmosphere. Quit trying to tell somebody. Quit trying to discuss all of the garbage. Just change the atmosphere. When you change the atmosphere, now you can see. As a matter of fact, if you're with somebody and you're both changing the atmosphere, you're going to become like-minded. See, but the enemy always tries to bring us to us. And if he can bring you to you, he can put you in the flesh. Oh, what about me? What about you? You're supposed to be dead. See, what happens is we begin to focus on everything else but changing the atmosphere. We begin to focus on our disappointments, our failures, our fears, our sicknesses, all of these other things, when God is just saying, would you change the atmosphere? Why? Because he wants to come. You know, we keep calling on the Lord, Lord! And he says, good, change the atmosphere, I'll be there. See, you must make the place for him. You make the place for him. That's why it's so important to start your day in prayer. What are you doing? You're making the place for him. If anything else is between you and him, you will never think about changing the atmosphere. There's something there preventing you from doing it. Does everybody got it? There's something there. But see, the whole thing is because we're not sensitive, we're not noticing it. Or, of course, if we've never been taught it, but the Holy Spirit is teaching us all the time. The anointing teaches us, right? So what we do is we catch the anointing and we record it. Then the anointing teaches us more. Would you turn to Matthew 25? Matthew 25. Praise God. Is everybody there? Verse 1, let's read this together, please. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Okay, the virgins are believers. They've been washed by the blood. They're virgins. There's 10 of them. And now they went out to go meet the bridegroom. Who's a bridegroom? The Lord, Jesus. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but you, or go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Those who were what? Ready. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." This is so powerful. He's talking about believers. People have been washed by the blood. He's saying there are those who are foolish and those who are wise. Now, the wise ones were in the spirit. The foolish ones were not. Is everybody with me? In other words, the wise were consistent and disciplined. They were what? Consistent and disciplined. But the foolish, they were not consistent. They were not disciplined. In other words, consistency, there is a desire to what? Please God. See, they lost that desire to please God and began to please self. It moved them right out of the spirit. And discipline is associated with the fear of the Lord, which means reverence, respect, and honor. So there were those who were disciplined and consistent and those who were not. Those were known as the foolish ones and the wise one. Why? Because those that were doing those things were in the spirit. So everybody got it. And so what they did is what the ones that were the wise ones, they maintained the presence of God and his anointing of power and truth. Is everybody with me? They maintained the presence of God in his anointing and his power of truth. So they were what? Ready. They were what? Ready. And the foolish virgins, they were lost. They became lost. Why? They missed God, didn't they? They missed the removal of the body of Christ, and they were lost. Because they lost the call, which is to what? Battle. And the purpose to do what? Destroy what? Satan's kingdom. So they lost their calling and they lost their purpose. They got back in the flesh. See, when you are in the spirit, it is totally different. Is everybody all right? So what happens is when they lost the call, the battle, and their purpose to destroy Satan's kingdom, because they became religious. In this religious state of being, they began to accumulate their own belief system. Is everybody with me? And when you accumulate your own belief system, you cannot see correctly. You perceive things differently. Now, so they were no longer in the spirit. Because if they were in the spirit, they would have known what was coming. They were lost. They were what? Lost. Living outside salvation's truth is called lost. Living outside salvation's truth is called lost. Because they were no longer living according to salvation's truth. They were under their own belief system. These were at one time wise virgins that became foolish. Is everybody all right? Let's go to John 16. They were what? Lost. So the foolish are lost, living outside salvation's truth. And that's where the enemy always wants to bring you, to live outside salvation's truth. That's called lost. John 16. And praise God. We'll go to verse 12. And the Lord said to them what? John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you're not going to bear them now. In other words, they could not receive what he was trying to speak because they were not able to get into the Spirit. However, when he, the what? Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. So, if the foolish virgins were in the Spirit, they wouldn't have been foolish, were they? They would have known what's coming. They would have known that they had to maintain the anointing because the oil represented the presence of God, the anointing in power and truth. They would have known that they could not see that word when they said, well, you go buy it. That's that price you must pay. That's the price you must pay to stay in God's presence. But see, this is where the enemy loves to come in. He loves to come in the area to bring laziness, compromise, complacency. Because if he can bring you to you, then you can't go to him. Does everybody got it? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So those foolish virgins, if they were truly in the Spirit, would have known what was coming. Why? Because when you are in the Spirit, you are able to see through the natural. You're able to see through the natural. The natural does not prevent you from seeing. He says in verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare to you. How many of y'all know God's trying to get you something? Amen. But if you're not in the Spirit, you miss. You miss. That's why people go in cycles. Because God is always trying to bring an area of escape, but they miss it because the enemy gets them to get caught up in themselves. Then it puts them in the flesh. Then they become lazy, compromised, complacent, and they want somebody else to do it for them. But that's the price you pay. You must do it. Why? Because you're the one that's supposed to change the atmosphere. Spirit of truth guides into all truth, tells you things to come, glorifies Jesus, declares to you what is of God. He is called the Holy Spirit. He is the only Spirit called holy, because he is the Spirit of the Lord. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the only Spirit called holy. You can't find any other Spirit in this Bible called holy, because he is the Spirit of the Lord. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is called holy, and he brings us to everything holy. He guides us. He teaches us. His whole purpose is to bring us to the end of ourself so he can live through us. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. If you're in the Spirit, you will know and you will see. You will know truth and you will see what's coming. And you will also be able to discern motives of yourself and motives of others. Does everybody got it? You'll be able to discern. That's called discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is a representation of being able to discern the motive. There's many people I talk to who say all kinds of stuff, and I know what their motive is. And when the Lord tells me to expose it, I do. When he tells me not to, I don't. Because if you're in the spirit, you will see through the natural, and you'll be able to discern what is the motive. But you're supposed to discern your own motive before you go out discerning anybody else's. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you want to know the name of the teaching, it's called Lost. First Corinthians chapter 2, and don't get lost. In verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? His Spirit. His Spirit. Believe me, people go to colleges, they go to all kinds of cemetery schools. they're looking for a degree, and they're looking for a certificate saying, yes, I've accomplished this. Now I believe I'm ready. You need to be in the school of the Spirit. And then you're approved by Him. For God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except for the spirit of a man which is in him? That means the flesh. Even so, no one knows the things of God except for what? The Spirit of God. So if you want to know the things of God, you got to be in the Spirit. And you got to invite the Holy Spirit in everything you do. No matter what it is. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Help me pray. Help me this. Help me that. Show me what's up. Believe me, you will not wear them out. He'll wear you out. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, that we might know the eternal things. That we might know the eternal things and things that pertain to your life. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches. In other words, the anointing teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, those who are in the flesh, those are called foolish virgins. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, the natural man does not interpret the motive. Has everybody got it? The natural man cannot interpret a motive. In fact, most of the time they try to interpret a motive, they're deceived. For he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? Mind of Christ. So who is the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit. He is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the Spirit of Christ, called the Holy Spirit, to keep us from living outside salvation's truth. He's keeping us from being lost. Hosea 4:6. We'll go to it anyways. Hosea 4:6. Lost. Living outside salvation's truth. Lost. Living outside salvation's truth. So people you know are lost are living outside salvation's truth. And they may even proclaim to be a believer, but they're really lost. Verse 6, Hosea 4:6, would you read it with me? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That means lack of truth. So they are lost. And what's the end result? Destruction. Why? Because the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. So if you're living outside of salvation's truth, you're lost. And you're not going to have abundant life. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge or truth. I will reject you from being a priest for me. And that's access to the second chamber of the tabernacle. You will be rejected from going there. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. That brings a curse down the family line. That's why you are what you've inherited. That's why you must break those things off in the natural. You want to break everything associated with the flesh blood so you can receive your inheritance from the true blood, the holy blood. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are destroyed for living outside salvation's truth. Why? Because they don't know the truth, or they are foolish virgins that have fallen into religion. They have not maintained the area of the presence of God, the anointing, power, and truth. They become religious. And in that religious state, their belief system has become flawed. Now because that's flawed, they perceive things differently. They see things differently. They can't see the way you see. Because they can only see so far. In fact, they can't see beyond their feet. Because everything is associated with self. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his what? Good pleasure. Now, here we go. So if you have a desire to please God, you are what? Consistent. And if you walk in the fear of the Lord, you are what? Disciplined. That's what he just said right there. So you're going to walk out your salvation with consistency and discipline. Does everybody got it? Why? Because that is what's going to keep you from being lost. Living outside salvation's truth. And that's exactly where the enemy wants to always draw you. Because you could be a wise virgin today and a lost one tomorrow. Verse 14. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing. Why? Because he's telling you this is what's going to open a door. This will prevent you from being consistent and disciplined. That you may become what? Blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast the what? Word of life. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Powerful. Work out. That word work out means cooperate with God, right? through His Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit, so that you and I can be in the Spirit, which is life. Life is in the Spirit. Everyone say, life is in the Spirit. And it's living in future events. Life is living in future events. Why? Because you are allowing it. You are moving through time. I said you are moving through time. You are not caught in time. See, life is living in future events. So you are always walking in the future. In other words, you're always letting go of the past. So if you're always letting go of the past, you're always walking in the future. But if you're living outside salvation's truth, you're living in the past. See, the world lives in the past. Come on. Man, you go out and talk to somebody in the world. That's all they do is talk about what they did. They live in the past. That's all they got is a memory of the past. And what are you talking about? What, the future. There's a difference. Because you're in life now. You're in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, there's life. So you're not talking about the things of the past. You're talking about you're living in future events. Because that's called hope. Future faith. So everything you're doing now is, you know, you're living. So when you're walking in the Spirit, you're living in the Spirit. You're living in life. And you're living in future events. Because you're always looking at what God is going to do next. Not what you did in the past. The world only has the past. You have the future. I also call life living inside Father Eternal. Living inside Father Eternal, doesn't He say, abide in me and I'll abide in you? That's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Living outside salvation's truth will kill you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Will you read it with me, please? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the what? Flesh. In other words, we regard no one according to someone who's what? Living outside of salvation's truth. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him what? Thus no longer. Now, in other words, we knew the anointing that was manifested in the natural realm, but He's no longer in the natural realm. Do you know how He's in the natural realm? Through the body of Christ. Oh, come on, grab that. So He's trying to... In other words, it's the body of Christ that's restraining evil, right? So the only way He's in the natural realm now is through His body. So if an individual is a foolish virgin, not in the Spirit, Christ can't move through that person. So that person's living outside of salvation's truth, or Christ would be moving through that person. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in what? Christ or in the Spirit, he is a what? New creation. Why? Because in the Spirit is life. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Why? Because life is living in future events. Again, flesh is associated with past worldliness. In the Spirit is life, living in future events, living inside Father Eternal. The world lives in the past. We live in the future. Why? Because we are going through time. We're not bound by time. The world is bound by time when you're going through it. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. That's why the enemy always wants to bring you to your past. So you can be bound by time, come out of the spirit, and live in the flesh. Because he's trying to steal life from you. Do you understand that? He's always trying to steal life from you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Life is living in future events. In verse 15, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Would you read it with me? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is what? Passing away, because it's temporary, isn't it? And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides what? Forever. So, if you are living outside of salvation's truth, you are in the flesh and you are of the world, aren't you? That means that if you are lost, you are also in lust. Has everybody got it? If you are lost, you are in lust. Now, lust, are you ready? Lust is living under Satan's torment. Lust is living under Satan's torment. So if you're living outside of salvation's truth, you're also living under Satan's torment. But if you're in the Spirit, you're doing the will of God. If you're lost, you lust. And it's fulfilling self, isn't it? Is everybody okay? Again, lost is living outside of salvation's truth. Lust is living under Satan's torment, because that's what lust is. John 14. John 14. Is everybody there? In verse 6, we all know the scripture. Jesus said to him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for what? Through me. If you had known me, we would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Well, Philip was in the flesh. Because he what? He couldn't see. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? Living in Father, eternal life. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And these are three levels in the area of the Spirit. These are three levels in the area of the Spirit. In other words, that he also said that these are the three chambers of the tabernacle. Everything, again, evolves around the tabernacle. Everything is associated with the tabernacle of God. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. The way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. The outer court is the first place where the Spirit begins to do something. It's called sowing in the Spirit. Is everybody with me? sowing in the Spirit is associated with the outer court. Go to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. So there's the three areas of getting through the tabernacle, isn't there? You don't start in the most holy place, you start in the outer court to the most holy place. So you start in the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. And you get through these areas, first of all, you access it by sowing. Now, when you repented, did you sow? Yes. It said, confess your sin. So what did you do? You sowed. Sowing in the Spirit. Now, by sowing in the Spirit in the outer court, it brings you to the next chamber. So there's three things that allow you to sow. Prayer, praise, and proclamation. Those are areas that you're sowing. So even that's how you change the atmosphere too, isn't it? You praise, don't you? So as you change the atmosphere, you walk into another chamber. Everything's available for us, but the thing is we got to get our eyes off of us and get them on Him. In Galatians chapter 6, is everybody there? In verse 7, do not be what? Deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also what? Reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap what? Why? Because he's living outside of salvation's truth. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting what? Life. Because he's sowing into life. He said, let us not grow weary while doing good. And now he's beginning to talk about the second chamber. So he first explains the first chamber about sowing. He said, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. So we see that the outer court is associated with sowing, sowing in the Spirit. You are sowing in the Spirit by prayer, praise, and proclamation. That it's allowing you, it is changing the atmosphere now for you to access the second chamber. And the second chamber is a place where you walk. It's walk, it means do. You are doing. Is everybody with me? James 1. James chapter 1. Because it is the way, the truth. So you are sowing according to the way. You are walking according to the truth. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, lay aside all what? Filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to what? Save your souls. Because we know that the outer court is associated with the blood of Christ. The holy place is associated with the word of Christ. So the outer court is the place where you sow. The holy place is where you do, where you walk. Because you're walking in truth now. Verse 22, but be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In other words, so that you are not in lust, living under Satan's torment. Is everybody okay? So a doer is one who is walks in the Spirit. So the outer court is associated with one who sows in the Spirit. the holy place, the one who's associated with walking in the Spirit, because he's a doer. Everybody okay? Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and 22. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, which is the law of sin and death, which means you're lost. And those who are Christ or are in the Spirit have what? Crucified the flesh. In other words, they have nullified living outside of salvation's truth. They've nullified it. Why? Because they're living in the Spirit. That means life. So those who are in the Spirit have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we what? Live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now this is powerful because many claim to be living in the Spirit, but they're not walking in the Spirit. Paul was basically rebuking them in this letter. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. How can you say you're living in the Spirit when you're not walking in the Spirit? You can't. You can't. If you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're not doing, are you listening? You can't be living in the Spirit. It's impossible. It's amazing how many people say, yeah, I'm Spirit filled. That's cool. Are you living in the Spirit? Oh, yeah. I'm being led by the Spirit. Oh, really? Then why are you doing this, 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 and this? That is not walking in the Spirit. So if you can't walk in the Spirit, you certainly can't live in the Spirit. Foolish flesh creature. Many claim to be living in the Spirit, but are not walking in the Spirit. If you are living in the Spirit, you set all things on eternity. If you are living in the Spirit, everything is set on eternity. Is everybody okay? Romans 8. If you are living in the Spirit, which is the most holy place, right? That's where it says life is. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you are truly living in the Spirit, you will also be walking in the Spirit, and you will also be sowing in the Spirit. You will be fulfilling each chamber all the time. In Romans 8, verse 1, therefore, there is therefore what? Now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus or in the Spirit, who do not walk according to the what? Flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. So there's condemnation, there's judgment. Why? Because an individual walking in the flesh is lost. Living outside salvation's truth and living under Satan's torment in lust. For the law of the Spirit of life and Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that in it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, how many of y'all know there's a requirement, of the law might be fulfilled in us. So the law is fulfilled in me and you. The law of sin and death is fulfilled when you walk in the Spirit or you live in the Spirit. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. So if you're not in the Spirit, you're in the what? Flesh. And if you're in the flesh, you're under the law. That means you're lost. Has everybody got it? So by walking in the Spirit, you're setting everything on eternal things. Everything is set on eternity. Why? Because you're in the Spirit. You're living in future events. So everything is set on eternity. You are now laboring unto the Lord. No matter what you do, eternal thoughts are always there. How am I going to expanding the kingdom? What's the Lord doing? That's why David always said, I see the Lord in front of me. If you truly are in the Spirit, everything you're doing is set on eternity. If it's not set on eternity, you're in the flesh. You are not in the Spirit. No matter when you go to work, why? Because you're laboring unto the Lord at work. You may be doing your job at work, but your thoughts are, I'm laboring unto you, Lord. Who are you going to send across my path? See, you're thinking eternal things. Everything you do is eternal. You're no longer of this world, even though you're in this world. Everything you do is eternal. Even if you go and work on the car. I don't care if you're hanging drywall or putting a roof on. Everything you're thinking is eternal. Okay, you're learning how to do this, and you're thanking God. Lord, this is awesome, man. You know, because you're always making connection. You're thinking eternal. Your thoughts are never going from Him. They're always on Him. That's being in the Spirit. In verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. They are lost, living outside of salvation's truth. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So everything they do, their thoughts, their desires, their motives, and their will are set on eternal things. Not temporary. Eternal. For the carnal mind, the natural mind, to be carnally minded is what? Death. That's self. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life. Because they're set everything on eternity. You're not setting your mind on your jobs. Even though you have a job, you go to your job, you do it, but you're still setting everything on eternity. You always are looking through the natural because there's an eternal purpose. And it's to destroy Satan's kingdom. You're fulfilling your call by battling. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? This is the difference. I am so tired of hearing people telling me I'm in the Spirit when they're an idiot. Yeah, I've been doing what I'm supposed to. No, you're not. You haven't changed the atmosphere yet. You haven't done what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be sowing. You're supposed to be walking. And living in the Spirit. Three things. That's why Jesus came. So that He could be the example. So that we could sow, walk, and live in the Spirit. And your temple is now filled. Are we okay? It says, verse 7, because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So the carnal mind can never submit to God. Our corrupt carnal mind cannot. That's why we have the Spirit, who is the mind of Christ. So you are not reacting, you are responding. You react according to your past, you respond according to the Spirit. Has everybody got it? So if you're reacting according to your past, you know where you're at. You be in the flesh. But if you're responding according to the Spirit, you're not responding. You're not reacting. There's a difference. Jesus never reacted. He responded. But everybody else around Him was at reacting. That's why they were accusing Him and all this other stuff. See, the enemy always wants to bring you to your past. So you react. So your carnal mind always wants to react first. As soon as something happens, the first thing you want to do is react. But the mind of Christ, if you're in the Spirit, will say, gives the carnal mind a kick in the head and says, don't you dare speak. Don't you dare say a word, I'll slice you. I'll cut your head right off. You know, there was the example of John the Baptist. Does everybody remember John the Baptist? Do you remember when Jesus showed up? What happened to John? He went in prison. Then what happened? He got beheaded. See, that was the example of the old man becoming new. So what happens is, when you become a believer, your old man should go to prison. He's crucified. And then you're working on cutting his head off, so he can't speak again. And when he tries to think, shut up. Why? Because he's always trying to bring, come up first and bring those thoughts of past. Oh, what about me? It's all about me. Me, 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 me. See, when he gets you to you, you can't get to him. And that's when you're going to have to start changing the atmosphere. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because they're lost, living outside of salvation's truth. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is what? Dead to sin. That means you must cooperate. But the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die, living outside salvation's truth. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit of himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified. Setting our mind, our motives, our desires on eternal things. Living, walking, sowing in the Spirit. This is living in his life. This is living in his life. Living in the Spirit is living in his life. Any other thing outside is lost. Living outside of salvation's truth. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Let's read it together. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. This is powerful. Because you ask, you sow. Are you listening? When you seek, you walk. And when you knock, that's a place of living. Oh, glory. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What's he saying? You want to get these things, then you better treat men the way God wants you to treat them. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. In other words, the gate is narrow. The path is narrow. And in this, God begins to, as you begin to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, God begins to expand your borders. There is a boundaries in your life. See, because your purpose is to bring eternal things into a temporary place. You're to bring eternal things into a temporary place. But if you are not walking in the Spirit and you go beyond the boundaries, people end up lost. Because, see, there's a time when God sends us. See, the Lord is it, in other words, it says that the path is what? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to what? Life. And there are few who what? Find it. So in this, God begins to, as you are walking in the Spirit and you are living in the Spirit, you begin to earn God's trust in certain areas. Then what happens, it begins, because the path is narrow. Now he begins to broaden some of your path because he wants to bring eternal things into a temporary realm. But if you go beyond those boundaries before God sends you, you are not protected. And you will fall. Because there's no protection. And I want to close at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I don't know where we're going on all of this in the near future, but God knows. Actually, this happened because I was driving down the road. I came out of the gym, and I saw in front of me it said, lost, in the Spirit. And I said, whoa. And I said, what's lost? He said, I've been living outside salvation's truth. I thought, wow, I've never seen that before. And he began to bring me to other areas. And he says, I want you to do series on lost. So I have no idea what's next. But he does. Because if you live in the Spirit, you live in future events. Not in the past. And we're going through time. We're not bound by time. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Glory. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you're living in the Spirit. Hopefully. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. In other words, you'll be able to discern the motive, your motive. Living in the Spirit. In the Spirit. If you're in the flesh, you're associated with lust. And lust is living under Satan's torment. Living in the Spirit is life. You are living in future events. You are not bound by the past. You're not bound by time. You're going through time. And the Spirit is telling you things to come. He's keeping you from keeping your eyes on you. The only thing you're to do is discern your motive. Keep yourself clean. But you can't keep yourself clean, can you? Only He can. That's why He tells you things to come. So if you're not in the Spirit, you won't know what's next. The only thing that you can see is what's carnally. You cannot see through the carnal realm. You cannot see through the physical realm. That's called blind. Why? Because you're blinded to the things of the Spirit. You must, in these days, live in the Spirit. So you can see things through, discern motives, kick butt on the devil, fulfill your call in battle, your purpose in destroying Satan's kingdom. Be consistent and disciplined. And you will hear him say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed always. Thank you for fresh manna and revelation. Let this word be protected by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, any area where we are associated or living in the flesh. We ask that you show those areas so that we may sever those things and begin to live in the Spirit in every area of our life, that we may be well-pleasing to you. I pray a blessing over each and every one, Lord. I ask you to continue to draw them unto you and hide them in the secret place and feed them from your throne room, visiting them in dreams and visions and establishing your image, likeness, and character in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise God. Be blessed.